and headband, which was a little better. Neither of the garments could be classified as being in the height of fashion, and the accompanying black lace-up shoes were both ugly and uncomfortable. Cuddling Charlie, she made her way carefully downstairs to the large, old-fashioned kitchen, which could not have changed very much since the house was built shortly after the turn of the century. A deal table stood in the centre of the room, and the original cast-iron range still held pride of place, although Mrs. Kemp had recently, and somewhat unwillingly, invested in a more modern gas cooker. It was second-hand, but Susan much preferred cooking on instant and controllable heat. The range was large, temperamental, and guzzled wood and coal like a hungry giant. It needed constant feeding and cleaning, and once a week she had to apply a coating of black lead to the cast iron in order to prevent it from rusting. It was a dirty, thankless task, and one that she would have been happy to relinquish. When she first came to the house in Ellsworthy Road, the Kemps had employed a cook general and a charwoman. The cook, a kindly woman who had been with the family all her working life, had given in her notice at the outbreak of war, choosing to retire to the country and live with her married daughter. The cleaner had taken up well-paid work in a munitions factory. Susan set Charlie down on the floor, and checking first that the blackout curtains were drawn, she turned on the light. A 40-watt bulb emitted a feeble glow, but Mrs. Kemp now had the excuse of doing her patriotic duty by saving electricity. Before the war, it had simply been her parsimonious nature that had led to such economies. Susan went to the larder, and taking the milk jug from the marble shelf, she poured a small measure into a saucer and placed it on the floor in front of Charlie. But before he had a chance to lap it up, a ball of grey fur hurtled across the room and sank its claw into the puppy's nose. Charlie yelped with pain and fell over backwards in his attempt to get away from the growling Siamese cat.
"Binky Boo," Susan said crossly. "You horrible creature!"
She bent down to comfort Charlie, but she did not attempt to wrest the saucer from the malevolent feline who was now lapping contentedly, having won that round. She took a fruit bowl from the dresser and put it at a safe distance from the irascible Binky Boo before filling it with milk. Charlie slurped it down in seconds, eyeing the cat warily. Susan stood guard, ready to pounce on Mrs. Kemp's spoilt darling should he decide that small Labrador puppies were fair game. But having slaked his thirst, Binky Boo stretched, exposing his sharp claws as if it were necessary to remind anyone that he was armed and dangerous. He sat down and proceeded to wash himself. Susan shook her head.
"You're the most horrible pampered animal I've ever come across," she said conversationally. "But on the other hand, if I hadn't had to take you to the vet this morning, I wouldn't have found Charlie."
She smiled down at him, and he wagged his tail in response. She picked him up and headed for her own room, which was tucked away behind the pantry and the gardener's lavatory. It was small and simply furnished with a single bed, a chest of drawers, and a bentwood chair, but it did boast a window that overlooked the large back garden with the grassy hump of Primrose Hill beyond. She put Charlie on the bed and sat down beside him, stroking him until he curled up in a ball and closed his eyes.
"No one must know you're here," she said softly. "I mean it, Charlie. You must be very, very quiet. Mrs. Kemp doesn't like dogs, and she'd be horrified if she knew I'd brought you into the house."
She sat for a moment, frowning, as she remembered the scene in the vet's waiting room. There had been at least a dozen dogs with their owners, and all the animals appeared to be healthy, even if some were obviously quite old. What was even stranger was the fact that none of them had emerged from the consulting room. Their owners hurried off alone, and some of them were in tears. Susan had had to wait until almost last, and the only occupants of the waiting room had been herself with Binky Boo in his wicker cat basket, and a large cardboard box containing one very small yellow Labrador puppy. It was still there when she came out after Binky Boo's consultation with the vet. Having explained the cat's symptoms, or rather Mrs. Kemp's version of her pet's condition, Susan had known exactly what the response was likely to be, and she was not disappointed. The vet had raised his eyebrows.